mass of stone and masonry changed shape, like clay in running water, sank in upon itself, and with a roar and sudden storm of splinters and dust, slid sideways and collapsed. The earth of the valley rippled and bucked. A kind of wave ran up the hillside, and a huge crack opened among the tombstones, gaping on the blackness underneath, oozing dust like gray smoke. The stones that still stood upright toppled into it and were swallowed. Then, with a crash that seemed to echo off the sky itself, the raw black lips of the crack closed together, and the hills shook once and grew still. She looked from the horror of earthquake to the man beside her, whose face she had never seen by daylight. "You held it back," she said, and her voice piped like the wind in a reed. After that mighty bellowing and crying of the earth, "You held back the earthquake, the anger of the dark." "We must go on," he said, turning away from the sunrise and the ruined tombs. "I am tired. I am cold." He stumbled as they went, and she took his arm. Neither could go faster than a dragging walk. Slowly, like two tiny spiders on a great wall, they toiled up the immense slope of the hill, until at the top they stood on dry ground, yellowed by the rising sun, and streaked with the long, sparse shadows of the sage. Before them the western mountains stood, their feet purple, their upper slopes gold. The two paused a moment, then passed over the crest of the hill, out of sight of the place of the tombs, and were gone. The Western Mountains. Tanar woke, struggling up from bad dreams, out of places where she had walked so long that all the flesh had fallen from her, and she could see the double white bones of her arms glimmer faintly in the dark. She opened her eyes to a golden light and smelled the pungency of sage. A sweetness came into her as she woke, a pleasure that filled her slowly and wholly till it overflowed, and she sat up, stretching her arms out from the black sleeves of her robe, and looked about her in unquestioning delight. It was evening. The sun was down behind the mountains that loomed close and high to westward, but its afterglow filled all earth and sky. A vast, clear, wintry sky, a vast, barren, golden land of mountains and wide valleys. The wind was down. It was cold and absolutely silent. Nothing moved. The leaves of the sage bushes nearby were dry and gray. The stalks of tiny dried-up desert herbs prickled her hand. The huge, silent glory of light burned on every twig and withered leaf and stem, on the hills, in the air. She looked to her left and saw the man lying on the desert ground, his cloak pulled round him, one arm under his head, fast asleep. His face in sleep was stern, almost frowning, but his left hand lay relaxed on the dirt, beside a small thistle that still bore its ragged cloak of gray fluff and its tiny defense of spikes and spines. The man and the small desert thistle. The thistle and the sleeping man. He was one whose power was akin to, and as strong as, the old powers of the earth. One who talked with dragons and held off earthquakes with his word. And there he lay, asleep on the dirt, with a little thistle growing by his hand. It was very strange. Living, being in the world, was a much greater and stranger thing than she had ever dreamed. The glory of the sky touched his dusty hair and turned the thistle gold for a little while. The light was slowly fading. As it did so, the cold seemed to grow intenser minute by minute. Tanar got up and began to gather dry sagebrush, picking up fallen twigs, breaking off the tough branches that grew as gnarled and massive in their scale as the limbs of oaks. They had stopped here about noon, when it was warm, and they could go no farther for weariness. A couple of stunted junipers and the westward slope of the ridge they had just ascended had offered shelter enough. They had drunk a little water from the flask and lain down and gone to sleep. There was a litter of larger branches under the little trees, which she gathered. Scooping out a pit in an angle of earth-embedded rocks, she built up a fire and lit it with her flint and steel. The tinder of sage leaves and twigs caught at once. Dry branches bloomed into rosy flame, scented with resin. Now it seemed quite dark all around the fire, and the stars were coming out again in the tremendous sky. The snap and crack of the flames roused the sleeper. He sat up, rubbing his hands over